परिव्राजिताचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्तु श्री श्रीमरेशी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी को उपार की जय। धनराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौ प्रेमानंदे हरि गो नवेता भक्त वृंद की जय। आगवेश्वरी समलवती आगवेश्वरी समलवती आगवेश्वरी समलवती आगवेश श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 76. Beginning the chapter, we'll read the chapter summary in verses 1 through 5. This chapter is entitled The Battle Between Shalva and the Vrishnis. Chapter summary. This chapter relates how the demon Shalva acquired a huge and terrifying airship, how he used it to attack the Vrishnis in Dwarka, and how Lord Pradyumna was taken from the battlefield during the fighting that ensued. Shalva was one of the kings who had been defeated at the time of Rukmini Devi's marriage, having vowed then that he would rid the earth of all the Yadavas. He began worshipping Lord Shiva each day by eating only a palmful of dust. After a year had passed, Shiva appeared before Shalva and asked him to choose a benediction. Shalva begged for a flying machine that could go anywhere and that would strike terror into the hearts of demigods, demons, and humans alike. Lord Shiva granted this request and had Mayadhanava construct for Shalva a flying iron city named Saubha. Shalva took this vehicle to Dwarka, where he and his huge army laid siege to the city. From his airplane, Shalva bombarded Dwarka with tree trunks, boulders, and other missiles, and he produced a mighty whirlwind that obscured everything with dust. When Pradyumna, Satyaki, and the other Yadu heroes saw the plight of Dwarka and her residents, they went out to do battle with Shalva's forces. Pradyumna, the best of warriors, destroyed with his divine weapons all of Shalva's illusory magic, and he also bewildered Shalva himself. Thus Shalva's airplane began wandering aimlessly on the earth, in the sky, and on the tops of mountains. But then a follower of Shalva's named Duman struck Pradyumna on the chest with his club, whereupon Pradyumna's chariot driver, thinking his master seriously injured, carried him from the battlefield. But Pradyumna quickly regained consciousness and sharply criticized his driver for doing this. Text number one, a word meaning, Sri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadev Goswami said, Atha, now, anyat, another, api, yet, Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna, Srinu, please hear, karma, deed, adbhutam, wonderful, nripa, O king, krida, for playing, nada, human-like, sharirasya, whose body, yatha, how, sambhavati, Saubhapati, the lord of Saubha, Shalva, Hataha, killed. Sri Shukuvacha, Hatanya Rati Krishnasya, Shrenu Karma Bhutam Nripa, Krida nara sharirasya. Yata salbha patirhata. Krishuko vacha. Atanya rapi krishnasya. Renu karma bhutam nirpa. Krida nara sharirasya. Yata salbha patirhata. Krishuko vacha. Atanya rapi krishnasya. Shrenu karma bhutam nripa. Krida nara sharirasya. Yata saubha patir yatahata. Vishuka vacha. Senukarma bhutam nipa. Vidanara sarirasya. Yata saubha patirhata. Vishuka vacha. Atanyara di krishnasya. Venukarma bhutam nipa. Vidanara sarirasya. Yata saubha patirhata. Vishuka vacha. Atanyara di krishnasya. Venu karma bhutam nipa. Vidanara sarirasya. Yata saubha patirhata. Ladies. Krishuka vacha. Atanyara di krishnasya. Venu karma bhutam nipa. Vidanara sarirasya. Yata saubha patirhata. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, "Now please hear, O King, another wondrous deed performed by Lord Krishna, who appeared in his human-like body to enjoy transcendental pastimes. Hear how he killed the master of Saubha." So we'll chant 2, 3, 4, and 5. Together in unison. Shishupala sakashaubho rukminyudvaha agataha yadubir nidjita sankhye jarasandhaya mukhata. Shalva was a friend of Shishupala's. When he attended the wedding of Rukmini, the Yadu warriors defeated him in battle, along with Jarasandha and the other kings. Shava pratijam akarot trinvatam sarva bhubujam ayadhavam mam krishe haurusham mam apasyata. Shava swore in the presence of all the kings, "I will rid the earth of the Yadavas. Just see my prowess." Iti mudha pratignaya devam pashu patim prabhum aradayam asanipaha vangshu mushkim sakrit grasam. Having thus made his vow, the foolish king proceeded to worship Lord Pashupati, Shiva, as his deity by eating a handful of dust each day and nothing more. Sambhatsaranti Bhagavan Ashutosha Umapati Varenachandayamasa Shalvam Sharanam Agatam. The great Lord Umapati is known as he who is quickly pleased. Yet only at the end of a year did he gratify Shalva, who had approached him for shelter by offering him a choice of benedictions. Report. Shalva worshipped Lord Shiva, who is famous as Ashutosha, one who is quickly satisfied. And yet Lord Shiva did not come to Shalva for an entire year, because being Bhagavan, a great all-knowing personality, he understood that any benediction given to Lord Krishna's enemy would be fruitless. Still, as stated by the words Sharanam Agatam, Shalva had come to Lord Shiva for shelter, and thus to maintain the standard principle that a worshipper receives a benediction, Lord Shiva offered one to Shalva. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. The story of Shalva, Sadaputta Prabhu uses it as an example in his Alien Identities book. One section of one chapter, he points out several similarities between what takes place in this pastime with Shalva's UFO and modern UFO phenomenon appearing and disappearing and different things. So here we have a UFO battle in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Although it's not unidentified, it's identified. The chapter begins, Shukadeva Goswami, as we've just heard some other pastimes about the killing of Shishupal, and then how Duryodhan became offended in the house of the palace of Yudhishthira. Now we're entering into another topic. So it begins here, Shukadeva Goswami. Shrinu, listen to the Adbhutam Karma, the wonderful deeds of Lord Krishna, Krishnasya, Krida Nara Sharirasya. He's playing like an ordinary human being. Nara Sharira. His body appears to be that of an ordinary human being. Well, this, of course, is an important aspect of our theology that God plays. In fact, he doesn't have anything else to do, really. He has energies. Parashi Shakti Vividaiva Shriyate. The Supreme Brahman. This is an extremely important verse, actually. Natasyakariyam Karanam Chabidyate. This verse from the Shritashruta Upanishad. Is it Shritashruta? I think. Describes how the Absolute Truth has multifarious potencies or energies. So he can accomplish everything just by his will. The whole debate that goes on between the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas is the nature of Brahman. What is Brahman? So the impersonalists, they can't conceive of this idea. Of course, in one sense, it's achintya, it's inconceivable. That something could be one and still have Shakti, because they think, well, that makes two automatically. But of course, our philosophy is no, it's one. It's one and two at the same time. And the only way to reconcile the statements of the Upanishads that describe the Absolute Truth as both one and dual is to accept this principle. Otherwise, you can't make sense of it. So because Krishna, or the Supreme Brahman, has unlimited potencies, so anything he wants, swabhaviki, yanabala kriya cha, it takes place just by his will. So he doesn't have to do anything. Natasya karyam, that means he has no duties. He doesn't have to go to work. All the other devas, they have some work to do, something that they have to do. But Krishna doesn't have to do anything. So what do you do when you don't have anything to do? You just play. You just enjoy. So our concept, of course, of God is that that's what he does. He enjoys. Why should he do anything else? The idea that he sits in judgment all day, sending one side to hell and one, some to hell. And so, So what a boring job to be a judge. Actually, I had experience, I guess it was earlier this year, I was selected for jury duty. Usually they don't select me. As soon as I say I'm a Hare Krishna, that's it. You know? But I was selected this time. So I had to go, I had to sit through 2 days testimony. And then finally at the end, it turned out I was an alternate, so I didn't go to deliberation. So I was happy to get out of that. But in any case, I was sitting there for 2 days and I was thinking, it's really a big thing to be a judge. I probably used to give these different examples of a high court judge. But if you ever sit through a trial and watch what a judge does, what a boring job. Oh, all day long. First of all, he has to give the same instructions day after day after day. He has to repeat himself and say the same thing. Then he has to listen to hours and hours and hours of boring testimony, meticulous testimony, repetitious. It's just a boring job. So to think that God does that all day long, has to listen to the report from Chitragupta or whoever's giving it, that's how he spends his days, judging people. So now, why should he do that? He's got better things to do. What better things? He plays. So everything he does is actually play. Because what lila, the word lila is connected to lilaya, which means easy, easily done. So everything is easy for him. It doesn't take any effort. And it's just fun. He just enjoys himself. Why should he do anything else? So here it said krida. This is the word krida, play. Vikriditam rajavadubiridam chavishno. This verse at the end of the Rasa Lila pastime. It says this particular vikriditam, this particular pastime. Of course, the word is translated often as pastime, his play. What does the word pastime mean? We use it so much, so many words we use we don't think about. The word pastime generally means a hobby. It's what you do in your free time. When you're off your work, you go home and you do what you want to do. All day long you may be sitting in an office, but you don't like shuffling papers all day. So you go home and you go into your work, you know, on your workbench and you build whatever you do as your hobby, grow plants or something. So that's pastime. Pastime is your hobby, the thing you like to do. So, of course, Krishna's pastime with the gopis, that's especially significant because if you hear that pastime, then your heart becomes purified. Your lust goes away. That's the irony of that pastime, that it appears to be a lusty pastime, but your lust goes away by hearing it. It seems to be that's why that verse is put particularly there, because in one sense, any pastime of Krishna will purify your heart. So why mention it at the end of this particular pastime? Because it's astonishing, because this particular pastime doesn't seem like it would purify your heart. It seems like it would contaminate your heart because it's about boys and girls enjoying together in an illicit way. But it's especially significant because it does purify your heart, even though it's about this topic. So everything Krishna does is purifying to the heart. So we're beginning this pastime for more purification. Everything we hear in the Bhagavatam is purifying to the heart. So then we hear a little background going on here. This Shalva, he was a rascal. Now the word is used here. Iti mudha pratigya. This foolish vow that he took. He was so disturbed and offended. Of course, he's a kshatriya. So he was defeated by the Yadus at Rukmini's marriage. Krishna, he sometimes just takes off and goes by himself to do something. Doesn't worry about protection. But his devotees want to protect him, so they follow along. So the Yadus were there, and they, you know, when the battle took place, they protected Krishna. They defeated all these different armies were there. There were lots of different armies. Shishupal's friends, because Shishupal, he was supposed to marry Rukmini. So he was really upset. So his friends came to his aid, and among those friends was this Shalva. So when the Yadus defeated all of them, so he was so disturbed, because it's humiliating for Kshatriya. Kshatriya, they can't stand to lose. Kshatriyas tend to be poor losers, because they have so much pride. It's part of their nature to be proud. It kind of has to be there. So when their pride is wounded, they really take it personally, and they want revenge. So this Shalva, he really wanted revenge. In his vow, he says, the Sanskrit here is interesting, Ayadavam Shmam. It's made, Shmam means the earth. He wanted the earth to be Ayadavam, means no Yadus. I'm going to wipe out the whole dynasty. There's not going to be one Yadava left when I get done with them. So they took this vow, says, foolish mudha pratigya. He took this foolish vow. He's going to rid the whole earth of the Yadavas. So that's what when he took this vow. And he said, how am I going to get this vow fulfilled? Well, I'll worship Lord Shiva. This yesterday in the class, there was some discussion. I didn't hear the very end of it because I had to go somewhere. But this discussion came up about how did somebody end up in the subterranean heavenly planets on Bilaswarga, because they're impious, but they're getting heavenly enjoyment. So how does this happen? Usually when you're impious, you go to hell. You suffer. You don't enjoy. So why are they enjoying? So I don't know if this was resolved or not, but one idea I had was that we see demons, they worship the devas. This is a characteristic, actually. Just because they want something, they'll do anything to get it. So they'll even worship their enemies sometimes to get, because they know they can give benedictions. So this could be one explanation. And we know also that certain demons, just like Jarasandha, he was very charitable. So he gave to Brahmins in charity. He was a big demon. So you would think, well, he's a demon. He does only wicked, horrible things. But they sometimes do pious things just because, well, following the Kshatriya code, for example. So even though they're envious of Krishna and so on, they have to live in this dark subterranean basement of the universe. The only lights there are coming off the jewels on the heads of the Nagas. So it's, but that is still is very heavenly enjoyment. But it's a, you know, it's kind of a cursed place to be. But still, they get all this enjoyment there. So this could be one explanation. When you worship the devas, you get benedictions. So this Shalva, he's approaching Lord Shiva, and he's performing his austerity. I always think how the Bhagavatam is full of so many things that we just can't relate to. They're so different from our life and our experience. So who can imagine eating a handful of dust every day? It'd be pretty difficult. Although I remember, it's on one morning walk, some devotee is telling Prabhupada, there's one person, he wants to eat a whole car in his life. A car, yeah. He was grinding it, you know, all the parts up into a fine powder and eating a little bit every day because he wanted to eat a whole car. Anything to be famous. So I guess eating a handful of dust is, but I'm sure this guy was eating other things. He wasn't surviving on car parts. So, instead of going to McDonald's, he was going to, you know, Discount Auto. So anyway, he's eating a handful of dust every day. And, of course, Lord Shiva, who was easily pleased, Ashu. Ashu means quickly, actually. This word, actually, by the way, Ashutosh, often is translated easily pleased and easily angered. But the easily angered part is not actually part of the word. It's just sort of implied, so it's often translated that way. Ashu tosha means quickly or easily. Tosha, pleased. So he's easily pleased or quickly pleased, but not so quick this time. Took a whole year of Shalva eating dust before he got some response. So he's pretty patient, waiting a whole year eating dust, waiting for Lord Shiva to respond. So then Lord Shiva, one thing here, of course, Lord Shiva says, why didn't he respond immediately? Because he's Bhagavan. So, of course, we accept Krishna as Bhagavan. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Why do we take, when Krishna is called Bhagavan, why do we say that, well, that clinches the deal? But when Lord Shiva is called Bhagavan, we don't say, well, that clinches the deal. He's Bhagavan, and everybody else is subordinate. So, of course, you have to take these words in context. The specific context of Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam, that Suta Goswami has just given a whole list of all the incarnations of the Lord, beginning with the Purusha avatars, and you know, all the different Leela avatars of the Lord. So this whole list is given. Then at the end, to cap it off, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's Bhagavan himself. Among all these others that I've just mentioned, he stands supreme. He's in a superior position. So the word Bhagavan, of course, just means one who has opulence, Bhaga, who has different opulences. So Lord Shiva, of course, being an expansion of Krishna, even Narada is sometimes called Bhagavan. Different personalities are referred to as Bhagavan. So here Lord Shiva is Bhagavan. So he has great opulence. Lord Shiva, of course, is extremely powerful, destroys the whole universe. And we hear of different pastimes of his where he demonstrates his power. And he also has many qualities, many of the qualities just a step down from Lord Vishnu. Actually, the characteristics of Bhagavan described, they come in the context of the Vishnu Purana. So they're especially ascribed to Lord Vishnu. So Krishna is even above that Bhagavan. He's the source of that Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu. So one of the opulences of Lord Shiva, of course, is that he's very intelligent. And he knows his position. That's the real intelligence. Krishna ye bhaje se bara chatur. Prabhupada quote this line. Krishna ye bhaje se bara chatur. Chatur is sometimes translated as clever. It means intelligent or clever. So the most clever person is Krishna ye bhaje, one who worships Krishna. So Shiva is especially, of course, intelligent, knowledgeable, full of knowledge, because he knows his position as the expansion of Krishna and subordinate in that sense. So the intelligent Lord Shiva didn't respond right away. He wanted to put off whatever crazy harm this Shalva had in mind. So finally he responded to his request and said, "What do you want?" And he said, I want to destroy. That was what was in his heart. That was the desire within his heart. He wanted to destroy the Yadavas, so he wanted this amazing plane, airplane. Now, of course, what's significant in this last verse we read today, as pointed out in the purport, Sharanam Agatam. He went to Lord Shiva for Sharanam, for shelter. Krishna says, Sarvadharmam Parichyaja Mamikam Sharanam Braja. Come to me for Sharanam, for shelter. Sharanam is actually generally the literal translation, probably says surrender unto me. But generally, Sharanam means shelter. In the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya, you know, they chant their japa, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. Sri Krishna is my Sharanam, my shelter. So Krishna is the Sharanam, or the ashraya. Ashraya is another word for shelter. Everything is under him. Different powerful personalities in this universe can give shelter. They have something to offer. The Lord Shiva, he can offer a lot. Of course, he can offer a lot of benedictions. But Krishna is the ultimate shelter. It's the 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ashraya is Lord Krishna. Everything else is subordinate to him. Everything leads up to Krishna in the 10th canto, all the subcategories are training us, preparing us for Krishna, the shelter of Krishna, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So our ultimate shelter, why do we listen to these pastimes? And why did Vyasadeva or Shukadeva Goswami spend so much time on Krishna? Because ultimately, that's what we need to get. Not that Lord Shiva is our shelter, but Krishna is our shelter. And, of course, we're taking shelter. We're being trained to take shelter of Krishna by the 9 processes of devotional service. These that we're performing now in practice. This is our practice, our sadhana. The purpose of sadhana is to attain sadhya. These two go together. By sadhana, one attains sadhya. So sadhya means, well, what you want to attain, really, the goal. So our goal is Krishna prema. We want to get that shelter of Krishna through prema. That's how we get it, ultimately. We get it through prema, by loving Krishna. That's all he wants. He doesn't want palmfuls of dust or whatever crazy idea. And we have even more wild ideas, right? Cutting off your own flesh and so on. So the Actually, there we were reading recently about the kings. Krishna releasing all the kings. So they were kidnapped for the Mahabhairava Yajna, whatever that is. It sounds like they were meant to be sacrificed. They were captured because there was going to be a big sacrifice to kill all these kings and offer them to Bhairava, Shiva, or Durga, I guess. Maybe one. So some had sacrificed. And then, of course, people concoct all of these sacrifices, just like Jarabharat. Also, they wanted some animal-like human, part human. So they kidnapped Jarabharat. So we saw how Durga, how Kali responded to that. That's really an amazing pastime, actually. How she and all her followers are cutting off the heads of all these demons, drinking the blood like drinking from a pot and so on. So this is another one of those amazing pastimes. So we hear so many of Krishna's pastimes. Going back to the first verse here, it says Krishna's adbhutam. Adbhutam means wonderful, wonderful pastimes. Prabhupada gives a nice commentary on the Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakam Adbhuta Shringham. Adbhuta, there it's used. I always think it's funny how what we're singing and the way we sing it, they're so different, you say. Because if you're singing something sweet, you know, then you sing it like to a child, you sing a lullaby, it has a certain kind of melody. So we sing this lullaby like melody. Tavakara Kamala. So what are we singing? Lord Nrisimhadev, with his nails, he pierced apart the body of the demon here in Yaksha like a piercing an insect. That's what we're singing. So anyway, there, and that probably gives the example. Tavakara Kamala, his hands are like a lotus. Lord Nrisimhadev's hands are Tavakara, your hands, Kara is hand. By the way, it just dawned on me recently. I don't know if I mentioned this. We had in the class, there was some mention of different instruments, and one of the instruments was tala, and it was translated as cymbals. And I said, oh, kara tala literally means hand cymbal. I never actually knew that. Kara tala means hand cymbals. So in any case, tava kara, your hands, Kamala, are lotus. They're like a lotus. So what is a lotus? It's soft and beautiful and gentle. So Tavakara Kamala, Vare, beautiful. But Adbhuta Shringham, from that lotus comes these wonderful nails that are so powerful. Vajranaka, there in that one prayer in the fifth canto, Vajranaka. Your nails are like thunderbolts. And thunderbolts can knock off the peaks of mountains. So those nails, and they're sharp, they're piercing through this body of Lord. Huh? Wonderfully sharp, yeah, Adbhuta Shringam, wonderfully sharp. So Prabhupada, he comments on this word, he takes the word as wonderful. It's wonderful that from this flower comes these wonderfully sharp nails that tear apart this wasp-like demon. So all of Krishna's pastimes have these different wonderful aspects. And the most wonderful, of course, are Krishna's leelas when he appears in the human-like form. And we're going to see another example. Actually, I don't think Krishna even appears in this particular chapter. What happens is they get in so much trouble that Krishna, he returns from someplace else and he comes to the rescue and he ends up destroying Shalva's airship. So I'll stop here. Any questions, comments?
So we understand that Lord Shiva's Vaishnavanamita Shambhu is the greatest Vaishnava. But generally speaking, when we render service or perform austerities for a Vaishnava, we come closer to Krishna. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we see that the Manyak people are doing this with Lord Shiva, and they get benedictions that seem to go the other way. You know, like rather than, of course, this is Leela.
Yeah.
And,
of course, we do see examples where he can, know, they end up seeing Krishna. That's what happened with Shalva ultimately. He did get Krishna's darshan. He was, you know, killed by Krishna, so he got that benediction. Yeah, it does seem that sometimes, though, by worshipping this particular Vaishnava, at least, the results aren't always favorable. But they are favorable. We have to see it somehow. Maybe we can't see what happens, but as the ultimate result of just contact with a Vaishnava is so purifying. Just by seeing the Vaishnava, there's that verse, which I've forgotten now, Akshno Palam Twadasha Darshanam Hi, that one line. Just by seeing you, that's the perfection. Sudulabha Bhagavata Hi Loke. Just to see the Bhagavat, see him, touch him, there's nothing, it's very rare in this world. So the Bhagavat means the Vaishnava. So certainly it has to be auspicious. Ultimately the result has, that contact with the Vaishnava, with Lord Shiva, it has to be auspicious. So it may not always be revealed to us exactly how that plays out, but we can take it in principle that it does work out and that that person gets some spiritual benefit from it. Yeah.
One thing that I remember when I taught the yoga letter from Bhagavad Gita, the acharyas, they make the point that by doing demigod worship, there's some progress made because you're taking shelter of a superior being rather than just yourself.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Of course, there's also, Lord Shiva's really kind of in a different category than the ordinary devas also. We tend to think of them as materialistic. And you know, they have still have material desires to fulfill, but Lord Shiva is really not in that category. He's beyond that, the three modes of material nature. And he's always meditating on Lord Sankarshan within his heart. So he's especially, by worshiping Lord Shiva, you're especially in, you know, on safe ground.
I think another point in the yoga letter is that by this demigod worship, one eventually comes in contact with the Vaishnavas.
Just by nature of doing the demigod worship, one associates with Vaishnava.
Yeah, and then he starts understanding there's actually something much higher. Mm-hmm. It can take multiple lifetimes.
Yeah. Something else? Devotee?
Hello, Hare Krishna. So Mahabhairava is indeed Shiva, the same as
Shiva.
Kala Bhairava. They're the same.
Kala?
So Kala Bhairava and Mahabhairava are the same.
Oh, it's Bhairava, not Bhairava.
No, you're right. Bhairava.
Bhairava.
Which means very fearful. Calling the heat. He was going to perform the sacrifice and offer them. It's all in the first hand.
Yeah. What's that? In Bihar? All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.